The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Last week we had a message on the works of the flesh. And then, of course, we spoke about the works of the flesh. I hated that message, but I had to teach it. And don't you know, people were coming up going, man, that was a good message. Well, it must be a convicting message, you know. There's some people have told me in the South down here that if they don't feel like they've been whacked over their head and very convicted and walk out the door like that, they don't feel like they've been to church. Well, last week you could have done that. Because it was works of the flesh, wow. But I disagree with that. I think that God loves us and that He encourages us, and we should be joyful every time we hear and see His Word. And so that was an encouraging message of the works of the flesh that we recognized and spoke about. And here, as we get to the bottom of this, the end of the works of the flesh, it says, "Of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in times past." So, you know, I like that because I feel like Paul had children. I told you before, I told you in the past, I tell you now, kind of a thing. And he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some teaching this might go, see, you see? If you slam your thumb on a hammer or the hammer on the thumb and you come out with a curse word or even think it, oh, you're going to hell. Some people teach that. It's no. And I just want to reiterate this because, after all, we are kind of like I said before, in an area that if you're not feeling bad about yourself, you haven't been to a good teaching. I've actually heard that from different people. This, as we spoke last week and taught last week, this word practice here means get good at. Enjoy. It's like, a professional baseball player that shags balls all day long. He's out there as shortstop. They hit the balls to him all day long. They field some grounders, all kinds of things, because he wants to get the best that he can get at that particular position. That's what that word means in the original language. One that discards God altogether, says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and he does that until he dies, until he takes his last breath. If that's you, see ya, Paul says. You won't inherit the kingdom. You just won't. And people go, oh, you know, I'll come out of that, and I won't do that all my life, and the kind of thing. But look, once you get in that rut, I tell you, and most of you agree with me, once you get in that rut, sometimes it's hard to break, isn't it? But you start when you're young, you start when you're a teenager, and then you go into college, and then out of college, and then pretty soon, you know, you're in your 40s and 50s, you're doing the same thing, and then all of a sudden, you die. Paul says, not so good for you. But I wanted to let you know, it's not the one that stumbles like us. It's not the ones that occasionally will goof up, step in the mud puddle, whatever it is. It's those that love to take baths in the mud puddle. And they will fight you and argue with you why they should take baths in the mud puddle. And so I wanted to let you guys know that that's what Paul's talking about and speaking about now for today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Help me out, gang, if you'll please let me know. Is that plural, love, or is that singular? Anyone? Plural? I don't see an S on the bottom of that. It's a singular. It means the fruit of the Spirit is one word, love. That blows your mind, because you've always been taught that the rest of those attributes afterwards is fruits of the Spirit. No, and I'll tell you in a minute, in the original, what that actually means. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, then joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, I don't think I have to take each one and expound on it, because I think we all know as Christians that what long-suffering is. Anyone have kids? Yeah, right? Long-suffering. And I don't think I have to go in for faithfulness, goodness. Are you good? Are you kind? Do you have joy in your life? Or are you a bummer? Are you like Grumpy Joe? I had a guy named, no, Grumpy Bill. It's been so long ago. Like 30, 40 years ago, this guy was a Christian, I guess. I mean, he said he was a Christian. And every time I got too high on life, I'd call him up and he'd bring me right down. I mean, the guy just would walk around like Eeyore. Are you an Eeyore? Yeah. Also, self-control. 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 Yeah, self-control. Now, most people think that's anger. If you look at that in the right context, in the original language, yes, it does mean anger. But it also means many other things. It means, ladies, can you walk by a dress store without going in? Guys, it has a sexual content for you. It has the same kind of thing for deacons and elders. Have self-control. Meaning, are you one of those guys that are just, you know, thinking about that kind of stuff all the time? Of course, it's God's given us that line of thinking when it's proper. But, you know, is it just a almost a burden on you that you're always thinking about that kind of stuff? Self-control in those kind of areas. Self-control in money. Self-control. And so we know that those are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And those are attributes of love. Are they not? Look at them. Are they selfish? Is anything that says that... any of this, it's like joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. All these are attributes of love for other people, for others. These are attributes of Christ that loved others, sacrificing himself. And those are Christ, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The title of the message this morning, Wonderful and Beautiful Fruit of Love. A study in the fruit of the Spirit. John 14:23, John 15:1-15 are areas of the scripture that we're going to be looking at for the rest of our time today. And so turn, if you will, to John 15. If you're there, give me a hearty word.
Word.
Excellent. The beloved rabbi was on his deathbed. On his deathbed. His students had one last question to ask him. What is the secret of life, O rabbi? Looking into the eyes of the earnest young men, the rabbi said, life is like a river. Then he drifted into a coma that lasted for several months. Now, through the duration of the rabbi's silence, his disciples discussed and pondered the puzzling analogy. Life is a river. Life is a river. What does that mean? What does that mean? They pondered and wondered. A few months later, the rabbi woke from his coma, the young men quickly gathered, as you would think, around him and once again said, Rabbi, we've been considering the last word that you gave us. What did you mean when you said life is like a river? With a furrowed brow, the rabbi said, maybe life isn't like a river after all. And then he died. Isn't that so like the world today? So what is the secret of life anyway? Although we might look to gurus and rabbis, pastors and philosophers, heavy thinkers, or even movie stars nowadays for the answer, the only one who truly explains, and I'm here today to tell you, the Bible confirms it, the only one truly explains life to us is the one who came to be life for us, Jesus our Christ. I need an amen on that.
Amen.
Yeah. Some of the stuff people put on the internet. Are you, do you actually think I'm going to listen to anyone in Hollywood? Alert, we picked our channels on our TV. And one of the channels that me and my wife decided I was going to have, ESPN, and she was going to have Lifetime. You like ladies, you know, Lifetime. And so she's watching, and she's kind of slumbering, and she's watching a show. And I walk in, and there's these two women kissing. And I go, Carla. And she goes, oh my God. And we're trying, it looked like a fire drill trying to change the station. Look, when Lifetime goes upside down, Jesus is right around the corner. I mean, come on, Hollywood. What's up with you, man? Can't even watch Lifetime? What's wrong with the world today, with our United States today, with Hollywood today? And we're going to let them tell us how to live our lives? In our study this morning, with our time together, we will look at six secrets that God has revealed to his kids through the scriptures of his Holy Bible. And so to do so, we're going to look at John 15. The number one secret, if you're taking notes, in John 15, 16. Let's read it together. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, and that you should go and bring forth fruit. There you go. Bring forth fruit. That's what Jesus told us to do. And that your fruit shall remain, not go away or rot away, but remain, that whosoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whoa, that's awesome. And so, what is the secret of life, my friends? Bearing fruit. Or he wouldn't have put us here. He wouldn't have saved us. He wouldn't have went to the cross. He wants us to bear fruit. Does that make sense? Of course it does. Remember, there's a tree that didn't bear fruit. One day, as they were going to Jerusalem, what did he do? He cursed it, didn't it? No fruit. He wants us to produce fruit. And this is in all kinds of fruit, you know, the little bitty, bitty ones, the old ones, producing fruit, and everyone in between. Well, what is fruit? Our scripture we read together this morning in Galatians 5 describes it in its simplest form. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, that love isn't like Hollywood love, okay? It's like agape love. Agape love. Agape love isn't selfish, is it? The reference to that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love. Agape love. All of us know about that chapter. And if you don't, read it, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. And what about joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, and all those things, you may ask. When Paul said that the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, the implication in the original is that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control all describe what love is. Now, that makes sense to me, because without love, you can't obtain any of those. Without the agape love, those things are unattainable in my life, in your life. You see, gang, fruit doesn't exist for itself. Does it? Does fruit exist on trees just for itself? No, if it did, it'd just rot away. I got some bananas the other day, and there's bananas everywhere in this. I mean, he must have had a truckload here in the church, and they ripened, and we ate them, and it was like, you know, we were all full of bananas and potassium. Well, I got one, a bundle, and I took them home. I don't think it's fruit. Because it's not ripe. It's not even beginning to get ripe. It's green. I tried to eat one the other day. I like to throw it up. Is that a word? Throw it up. It was horrible. It was horrible. I just asked her. She was just like, when is this going to ripen? It'll never going to ripe. And so, yeah, fruit. Fruit. It's important that we know that these things, they do not exist for itself. Although I think these bananas do. It exists for others. I mean, you can agree with that. Too often we want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so we can be satisfied, so we can be happy, so we can be fulfilled. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's others first, not us first. The residual of others then makes us fulfilled. But that's not the purpose of fruit. Let's look at Genesis 49:22. So fruitful was Joseph. You guys know Joe, right? That his branches hung down into the neighbor's yard, ready to be picked and stripped. What? Really? You mean Joseph, he's got all this fruit, and they picked and stripped it? His fruit? You say gnarly. That's not cool. Oh, by the way, is gnarly a word? I had a discussion with her. There you go. Amen, sis. Yeah. I don't know if I like that or not, one might say. Really? Well, check it out. Song of Solomon 4:16. It's about Jesus, his garden, us, his garden, and Jesus with us in his garden. And he says, this is what it says. It reads like this. Awake, O north wind, and come south, and howl upon, and blow, rather, upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now, we stop there. It's like, yeah, that's what I want. I just want Jesus. That's more like it. I just desire my heart in the garden with Jesus. It's awesome. I don't want anybody else messing with me. I just want my fruit. I want Jesus. I want the garden. That's what I want. But wait a minute. Solomon 5:1 says, what does Jesus do then? It tells us in Solomon 5:1, they trampled on, he brings his friends with him into the garden, 5:1 tells us. They trampled on us and picked from us until we protest, who invited you guys? I can remember being in college and throwing some parties in another fraternity. If it's a sorority, it'd probably be okay. Another fraternity would come over and we'd say, who are you guys? Who are you guys? We ain't never seen you. That's kind of like what they're saying here. I've never seen you guys. I don't know you guys. Who are you guys? Who invited you guys? The word says that Jesus, the Lord, said, I did. I produced this fruit in you, not for you, and not even primarily for me, but for my friends and others. That says a whole lot right there. You don't think Song of Solomon can speak to you? First of all, you guys need to take your woman on a date and read Song of Solomon to her. Okay? Your hair is like a goat. That wouldn't be so good, would it? So, yeah, here it says, it's for others. Church, truly the secret of life is fruit-bearing, but not primarily, not for our own satisfaction, but in order that others might be nourished from the fruit produced in, through, and often in spite of us. And I'm sorry, but that's what Jesus says. Folks, focus on yourself and you'll be miserable. Ask Hollywood. It's all about them, huh? How long does their marriage last? You know, I saw something the other day that some marriage lasted like 16 years, and I'm like, what? And they're bragging about it? Try 35, and some of us in here 45. Instead, be a lover of God and of people. Get your eyes off your problems, your pains, your tears, your fears. Instead, look for ways to refresh, satisfy, and bless others, and you will find the secret of life itself. And that's a promise from Jesus. Well, in progression, if you're taking notes, and I hope and pray that you are, the secret of life is bearing fruit. Then what is, number two, the secret of fruit bearing, you might say? Well, again, John 15:4, let's read it together. Abide in me, and I in you. As a church cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You know what he's saying here? You've got to abide in me. You have to abide in the trunk, branch. Away from me, there's nothing. So what's the secret of fruit bearing? Abiding. Then what is abiding? Abiding simply means hanging in there. Did you ever know that? Some people go, oh, no, abiding, you have to do this, and you got to do that, and you have to do this, and you need to do that. No, it's hanging in there, especially in this world today, especially what they're trying to teach today, especially what they're trying to teach your kids in public school today, especially what they're letting your kids do in public school today. Just being able to hang in there is wonderful. It's awesome. Hang in there. And by the way, that's what that means, basically. As an illustration in the Greek, hang in there. Suppose I said my family loves apples, and they do. So to make their favorite fruit a little more accessible, I'm going to cut a branch from the apple tree in the backyard. I'm going to put it in the kitchen. where they can get at it easily. And when spring, it will blossom right there on my table, where the apples will be easy to pick, right? Come on. No. What? No. Now, I think you'd all agree that would be ridiculous, which is precisely why Jesus said, here's the key to fruit bearing. Stay close to me. If you cut yourself off from me in any way, any form, at any time, you won't bring forth fruit, period. That's the way it is. But if you abide in me, fruit will come supernaturally, naturally. I like that. Supernaturally, naturally. Look, I've got something I have to confess here. When I go away for like 2 weeks, a week, usually it's about 2 weeks, especially if I'm visiting my granddaughter, I get away from hanging out with Jesus a little bit. I'm hanging out with her, man. But you know, I've noticed that when I hang out with her, she's all about Jesus. She starts teaching me. I get convicted. I'll be out somewhere and you know, and we'll be hanging out, and I'll get a wrapper or something that of candy or something, and I'll just, you know, on purpose kind of throw it on the ground, and she'll just go, Poppy, no, no, no. Jesus said no littering on the earth. Then I have to come up with something like, well, honey, it's job security for the janitors. She didn't go for it. So, you know, if you leave that, you got to have something every day. You have to have some fuel every day. You have to be next to him every day somehow, something, read something, something. Another observation that I made looking at my apple tree, or a apple tree, I noticed that when the branches abide, when they simply cling to the trunk, blossoms come forth and fruit is produced. Right? In fact, I have never, ever seen an apple tree struggling, sweating, red in the face, trying to pop out an apple. It just doesn't happen. I've never seen it before. Have you guys? Have you ever seen an apple tree just really struggling to make an apple? No, not at all, naturally. Yet, I do see Christians straining and striving, grunting and groaning, because they fail to understand that the secret of fruit bearing is not trying to figure out how to make fruit, other than the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. Abiding, just hanging in there with the Lord. He'll do the work. We don't have to do the work. Just hang out with him, you know, like the apostles did. Just hang with him. Hang with him. I like John, Apostle John. When he hung with him, he just laid his head on him. Just hug next to him, you know. That's what I'd be doing. Because I'd be the little Johnny that would get in trouble all the time. So I'd be right next to Jesus, just hanging out. And that's what God tells us to do. It's just hang out with him and read his word, fellowship, study his word, sing his praises. How about those praises this morning? Man, I just got my tearing up and talking, speaking to the Lord, and just, wow. Man, that's where it's at, hanging out with God. Now, our text in John 15 gives us three identifying marks of one who is abiding. You really need to take these notes down. If you're taking notes, I pray that you are. The first, there is a production of fruit, period, 15:5. A production of fruit, 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit, for without you, me, you can do how much? Nothing. Zero. Zip. And so there's a production of fruit there in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Second, if you're taking notes, there is correction from the Father in 15:2. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, it's interesting and very mind-provoking, I would say. Some say the purging here, spoken of here, means pruning. Others say to purge means, in the original, is to clean the fruit. Interesting. Very interesting. Clean the fruit. John 15:3 tells us, you see, when a vine was full of grapes. Back in those days, Maybe today, I don't know. The branches would become weighed down with an abundance of fruit. Add a rainy season or two to the picture, and the result would be dirty, muddy grapes. Dirty, muddy grapes. Dirty, muddy fruit. So, in order that the fruit would remain pure, they would wash them gently. The wine dresser would come down, take the grapes, wash the mud and stuff off the grapes. Man, I like that. I like that symbolically. I love that analogy. Now, does it mean in our text here to be purged, does it mean to be pruned? Or does it mean to be washed? I think it means both. Why do I say that? Because it gives both in the original Greek. You see, the Lord will cleanse you as you study the Word corporately on Sundays, on Wednesdays, intimately in your quiet times at home with other believers, practically through small groups as you can talk and iterate through the small group with other believers. And He will also prune you, though, through trials and difficulties and dark days and hard times. Now, it's your choice. It really is your choice. Because the way I see it, God is so in love with you, He is committed to teaching and changing you one way or the other. It's up to you. He just is, because He loves you. Let me suggest that you choose to be washed by the water of the Word rather than trimmed by trials of the world. It's a lot easier, a lot better. But you know, some of us like being whacked and trimmed and trials. Or there would be many more people here on Wednesday night. Many more people, our home fellowships would be packed out. And Sundays as well. You know, I'm just saying, if you could see the future and God would come to you and He'd say, okay, look, you don't get fed, you don't hang out with other believers, you don't study the Word, you don't, you know, worship, and you don't do that right up the road here, you're going to have some problems. The wheels are going to fall off. But over here, if you get washed and you get washed, your wheels won't be falling off as much. Because I'm going to get your attention one way or the other. And I'm here to tell you, please don't pick the other way. Because I've tried it. It don't work. And it causes you to run back to Him at His feet. But why should we even try that? Let's just continue to worship and be washed by this Word. Nevertheless, finally, the third mark of abiding believers is producing fruit in prayer. Producing fruit in prayer. That's 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and that should be done for you. I must not be abiding because I haven't got that F-350 out there yet. Doesn't work like that, does it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then, hey, wow. So answered prayers are an indication of an abiding heart. That's what it says. Answer a prayer is an indication of abiding heart. Church, if your prayers are not being answered, flat out means you're not in harmony with the heart of God. Because if you are, you'll pray those prayers that God wants you to pray so He can then answer them. I don't think He wants to answer the 350, F-350 or 250 or whatever. Okay, but other prayers I pray that is in His will, that I know that's in His will, that I pray from my heart, He'll answer. He'll answer them because they're His will for us. Pretty awesome, actually. Gang, the truth is you'll understand the heart, nature, and character of Jesus if you're abiding in Him. And then as you pray those, your prayers will be answered. Then consequently, your prayers will be in line with His desires. Amen? Yeah, makes sense. I didn't get a whole lot of amen then because it's like, are you kidding me? I want that 350. So amen?
Amen.
If the secret of fruit bearing is abiding, then the third secret found in John 15:10 is the secret of abiding. It says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. 15:10. So, what is the secret of abiding? Obeying. Says it right there. 15:10. Obey and you will abide, according to 15:10. Simply doing what the Lord is telling you to do at any given moment. When you're reading His Word, you know, and you just, something happens, and you see something, you go, oh, wow, that was for me. Lord, I'm going to pray on that. And then He gives you a word, and He wants you to do something, and you go, no, I don't want to do that. Now, here we go. The mean old, stingy pastor wants my money. 10%. When I give a teaching once a year about tithing, you know, people grump and then I get emails and stuff. But it's just the same thing. We're going, I don't want to hear that. You can touch my food, you can touch my car, but don't touch my money now. Don't be going after that. I'm not. I'm just teaching what God says. And so here we see obeying God. That's what we do. That's abiding in Him. In Samuel 15:13. King Saul boasted, I did all that God told me to do. I wiped out all the Amalekites. Then who's the guy standing next to you? Asked Samuel. Who's that big fat dude next to you? Oh, he's their king. I brought him back as a trophy, along with a few sheep that we're going to sacrifice. Saul answered. Really, Saul? Said Samuel, the prophet of God. Don't you know that to obey is better than sacrifice? God would rather you obey Him than not to obey Him and give $1 million to the church if it's sacrificial. Did you know that? I remember Chuck got $1 million once, and he looked at it and he prayed for it, and he looked at the guy and he took the check back and gave it to him. He said, no, God told me I don't want this. You're not giving it with the right heart. Boy, Chuck's a stronger man than me. I'd had that thing cash in a heartbeat. Just kidding. But you see, it's so true. Obeying. Was he really obeying God? Don't you know that to obey is better than sacrifice? Yeah, that says a lot there, if you think about it. That disobedience, he continues, says, is as a sin of witchcraft. That's pretty ugly, declared in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. You guys have heard this before from this pulpit. But it's so important, it needs to be said again, whatever you don't deal with in obedience will return to destroy you. For you see, in our story, years after, as King Saul lay dying in the battle at Mount Gilboa, words he heard were these from his attacker saying, I am an Amalekite. King Saul, if you had destroyed them all, you might have lived. But know that one that you let go. You see, that king came back and stayed in his palace for 2 years before Samuel finally came up and killed him. He had a baby with a servant girl. And that baby, guess what happened? Grew up and killed him. Wow. What a great symbolic story for us. We don't deal with Amalekite. He'll come back and get us. So let's deal with that sin. Deal with that sin. Obedience is a key to abiding. If we don't obey, an Amalekite will be produced within us that will eventually rise up and destroy us, whatever it might be. The fourth secret is the secret of obeying. It comes from John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Again, what is the secret of obeying? Love, right? It is. Jesus didn't say, if a man loves me, he should keep my words, or he had better keep my words. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. It's true. Obedience is no problem if you love someone. Is it? Guys, remember? Ladies, remember when you love with your husband? Would you have done anything for him, you know, when you first married him? Of course. I love you. Cook him for him and everything. You know, rubbing his feet, girls, yeah? Maybe not, I don't know. But anything, you do anything. But no, you do, you would. Obedience is no problem if you love someone. Saul had no love for God. That's why obedience was so difficult for him. And men, again, if you're loving your wives like Christ loved his bride, the church, it's much easier for your wives to submit to your leadership. Just good food for good thought, amen? And all the ladies said, the fifth secret, a secret of loving, is out of 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord's going to do. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. And so what is the secret of loving? Knowing. Knowing what? First of all, knowing the Lord Jesus. Knowing what he did for us. Knowing how much he loves us. Knowing God. Knowing our Lord. Do you know your Lord? Does he call you by, when he calls you by name, do you hear him? Do you know him? When you get to heaven, you go, hey, it's Ben. Who? I never heard of you. You never talked to me. Oh, no. I stood up one time and said, hey, I recognize you. No, I never knew you. Get out of here. You know, kind of a thing. Do you know him? Knowing him. Jesus explained in John 15:15, I've let you know all that I know. What I have heard from my Father, I've shared with you. Familiarity. You know what that word means? You know what that means, doesn't it? Been told, breeds contempt. It's only true regarding contemptible objects. You see, here's what this means. And I think everyone knows this. The longer that we know people, the greater the chance that we'll disappoint them or they'll get on our nerves. Amen? Don't, guys, be careful. But that happens, whether it's in church, whether it's in a marriage. But the only thing that busts that wide open is what? Not so with our Lord. Folks, the longer we know him, the more impressed we are with him, the more that we fall in love with him, the more that our minds are blown, the more that our hearts are softened, and the more we just sit at his feet and want more of him. And finally, the sixth and final secret is secret of knowing. If the key to loving is knowing, how do I know him? Well, I just told you, and you guys have been doing it for quite some time. You already know the answer. Knowing him means taking in the word just like you're doing today and walking in the spirit every day just like you're doing. It's like you're doing right now, studying God's word. But that's what it is. I know it's easier for you to be at the beach or golfing or watching the Panthers or Packers on preseason. I get that. But the fact that you're studying God's word proves that you already know what it takes to know God, to know the Lord. In closing, walking by a once productive vineyard that had become covered with thorns. The wisest man ever, Solomon, stopped to see what had brought about this luscious garden to decline. His conclusion, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Proverbs 24:30-34. Gang, the same is true for the believer today. The longer we walk with the Lord, the greater the temptation to say, we've been to plenty of church meetings. You know, I need my rest. I got a brand new recliner. I don't need to go to any home fellowships. I've done all these. I know everything. I've actually had an elder come up to me and say, I know everything there is in the Bible, so I don't need anymore. Can you believe the guy said that? He did. He wasn't around much longer. He thought he had it all figured out. I've been long enough. I don't need fellowship even anymore. I need the golf course. Then what happens? The walls break down, the thorns creep in, and the fruit dries up, and you guys know that. The garden of your very soul and life withers away. Born again Christians cannot tread water in the river of life. Can't do it. It's a running river. And either you're going upstream or you're going downstream. The whole life of a Christian is somewhat of a struggle. But we have the Lord to help us. And we will either be swimming upstream or we'll be going downstream. No treading in a Christian life. And finally, precious saint, don't let that happen. Please. The secret of life is to bear fruit. We've spoken that in review. The secret of bearing fruit is to abide in him. The secret of abiding is obedience. The secret of obedience is what? Love. The secret of love is knowledge. The secret of knowledge is to do just what you guys are doing right now, studying God's word, verse by verse, and listening to the Lord speak to you. So stay the course, pilgrim. I wanted to say that so bad. Continue on, branch. You'll see fruit produced in you in a way that will not only bless others primarily, but that will bring great satisfaction to you guys. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.